deze gedenkwaardige.
Welcome to the Amsterdam City Council Chamber on this memorable night. It's a double party. You're celebrating that you're getting married, and you're also celebrating that you can get married.
I thought, well, I want to say yes, but I could not. I just said yes.
First of April is my birthday.
This is the best present ever.
It is, I'm sure. But it's not a present to me, it's a present to the world.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. UK High Court rethinks trans kid treatment, queer black state rep fights Georgia voter suppression, and toasting the world's 20-year equal wedding anniversary. Those stories and more this week as we begin our 33rd year bringing you This Way Out.
I'm Michael Taylor Gray.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending March 27, 2021. The UK High Court has revised its December 2020 decision regarding puberty blockers for transgender children. The justices had originally reasoned that kids under the age of 16 might not be able to understand the long-term risks and consequences of puberty blockers and other hormone therapy. Any under 16 trans person had to get a court order attesting to their competence to get the medical care they wanted. That decision was immediately appealed by the UK's only gender identity clinic for trans children, the Tavistock and Portman NHS Trust. The High Court ruled on March 26th that a loving parent could consent to the medical treatments on behalf of minor children. Justice Natalie Levin noted that the key difference from the earlier decision is that parents are, in general, in a position to understand and weigh up these matters and consider what is in the long and short-term best interest of their child. She added that the court could intervene in cases where a parent may not be considered competent to make the decision, but not simply on the category of prescribing puberty blockers to children. Trans advocates applauded this week's ruling, but there is still concern for vulnerable trans kids who lack the parental support required to access those therapies. The court will hear an appeal of the entire December ruling in late June and could decide that even those trans teens should be able to access desired medical treatments.
There's renewed concern this week about the plight of two gay Chechen brothers and their families. Ismail Isayev and Solek Magomedov have been abducted from what they believe to be a safe house near Moscow and returned to their Chechen village to face terrorism charges. Their alleged crime, running the government opposition Telegram channel on social media. Now some 20 relatives of the brothers have been interrogated in an attempt to track down their parents who have reportedly fled the area. The mostly Muslim Russian region of Chechnya enjoys a certain degree of autonomy. It's led with a heavy hand by Ramzan Kadyrov, one of Vladimir Putin's best buddies. Both governments have denied well-documented reports since 2017 of a genocidal anti-LGBTQ campaign in Chechnya. Suspected queers have been tortured in queer concentration camps to provide names of others they know. There have been intermittent reports of deaths as a result, but it's not known how many. When they're finally released, outed detainees can then face sometimes violent hostility from family members. Ismail and Selek were interrogated and then released in February, but they were later rearrested and charged with being part of an illegal armed group. They face up to 15 years in prison.
The Russian LGBT network has advocated for the brothers since their original arrests and helped get them into what turned out to be that unsafe house in Moscow. The group has joined family members to insist that the brothers were arrested on trumped-up charges. The European Union sanctioned two high-level Chechen government officials this week, which bars them from traveling to the EU and bans EU citizens from sending them money. Deputy Prime Minister Abuzet Vizmiradov and Chechnya-based Russian Internal Affairs Ministry official Ayub Kateyev were each identified as being personally involved in the anti-queer purge and supervising and participating in the torture of detainees. The U.S. has issued similar sanctions. Chechen and Russian authorities continue to shrug off global criticism. Meanwhile, a Change.org petition is circulating in Australia, asking Minister for Foreign Affairs and Minister for Women Maurice Payne to impose similar sanctions on the Chechen officials.
Dr. Rachel Levine made history this week. She's now the first transgender person confirmed for a federal government post by the U.S. Senate. She'll be the Biden administration's Assistant Secretary of Health. Only two Republicans joined the 50-vote Democrat majority, although no one has questioned her medical qualifications. The veteran pediatrician drew praise as director of the Pennsylvania Department of Health for how she's guided the state through the COVID-19 pandemic. Levine noted the historic nature of her confirmation in a statement to the New York Times. She acknowledged the many difficult challenges that transgender young people in particular face, but promised that she'd do everything I can to support you and advocate for you.
Thanks to Republican Governor Asa Hutchinson, Arkansas is now the second U.S. state to ban trans girls from competing as girls in school sports programs. The ban includes all students from elementary school through and including college. Idaho is the only other state to have a similar law, so far. Enforcement there has been put on hold by a federal court pending a legal challenge. The same fate probably awaits any number of similar bills now working their way through dozens of Republican-controlled state legislatures. An almost certain challenge awaits a trans in sports ban signed by Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves before it's scheduled to take effect on July 1st. Governor Bill Lee had already warned that trans athletes would destroy women's sports, so his signature on Tennessee's anti-trans bill came as no surprise on March 26th. This culture war reenactment goes with the concerted campaign in Republican-controlled legislatures in more than 40 states to pass laws that also restrict voting rights and abortion. They're also hot to protect so-called religious freedom by carving out faith-based exceptions to anti-discrimination laws that protect LGBTQ people.
South Dakota's Republican Governor Kristi Noem is planning to head trans athletes off at the pass with the National Defend Title IX Now Coalition to protect women in sports. Ironically, Noem subsequently vetoed a Ban the Trans in Sports bill. She feared punitive action from the National Collegiate Athletic Association. The NCAA refused to hold regional tournaments or other events in North Carolina after Republicans there passed an anti-trans bathroom bill. Noem asked lawmakers in her veto message to make what she called stylistic changes to deal with the NCAA concern. A few sports figures, like American football star Herschel Walker, joined Noem via Zoom to announce the formation of the Defend Title IX Now Coalition.
Today we're announcing that we're forming a coalition called DefendTitleIXNow.com. The coalition will consist of athletes, leaders, and everybody who cares about protecting women's sports. Once we have enough states on board, a coalition brought big enough where the NCAA cannot possibly punish us all, then we can guarantee fairness at the collegiate level.
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. The International Federation of Sports Medicine represents more than 125,000 physicians in 117 countries. Their report published this week concludes that there is no scientific basis for a blanket ban on trans women in sports. According to Reuters, the Federation discusses the roles of estrogen and testosterone and recommends that individual sports groups consider how physical strength and other factors affect their particular competitions.
Distressing video of a black woman being handcuffed and dragged away by an all-white group of state troopers outraged viewers worldwide this week. She was literally just knocking on the door of Georgia's Republican Governor Brian Kemp. Democratic state legislator Park Cannon was trying to witness the governor sign a multifaceted bill to restrict voting rights in the state. Among other provisions, the draconian measure makes it a criminal offense to hand out water to people waiting in line to cast their ballots. Cannon apparently thought that the six white male lawmakers posed with Kemp under the painting of a slave-holding plantation should have some company.
Are you serious?
No, you are not. Under arrest for what? For trying to see something that our governor is doing?
What is your name? Waffle. Please stop pulling on the handcuffs. It is painful.
Park Cannon is queer and also happens to be a parishioner of now Senator Reverend Raphael Warnock's Ebenezer Baptist Church, where Martin Luther King Jr. pastored. The senator joined a chorus of Cannon's defenders after visiting her in jail.
I saw a state representative knocking on the door of the governor, and she was arrested. Meanwhile, we saw a violent insurrectionist attack on the United States Capitol. And I want to know what makes her actions so dangerous. I am Park Cannon's pastor. I know her. She's a very intelligent woman and a very dignified and committed public servant. And what we have witnessed today is a desperate attempt to lock out and squeeze the people out of their own democracy.
Senator Reverend Raphael Warnock. The door was never opened to Georgia State Representative Cannon, but she faces two felony charges for knowingly and intentionally knocking on it during the signing of a bill.
Finally, an arson attack burned an iconic rainbow-painted lifeguard tower to the ground in Long Beach, California this week. Out and proud, Mayor Robert Garcia led about 100 people at a rally the following day against what he called an act of hate. The tower had been painted in rainbow colors as part of the Long Beach Pride observance. Officials promised to build it back in time for this year's celebration. Mayor Garcia said that the new tower would be brighter, gayer, and bigger than it was before.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending March 27th, 2021. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is recording remotely during the COVID-19 emergency. It's written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to News Wrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio channel on YouTube. For This Way Out, I'm Wenzel Jones. Stay healthy.
And I'm Michael Taylor Gray. Stay safe.
Hello, I'm Armistead Maupin, author of Tales of the City, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international radio news magazine produced by, about, and for our sexually diverse communities and those who love them.
How the world can change, it can change like that, due to one little word, married. See a palace rise from a two-roomed flat, due to one little word, married.
Here's to a happy platinum anniversary for four same-gender Dutch couples. And congratulations to LGBTQ people everywhere, 20 years after legal marriage equality came into the world. At the stroke of midnight on April 1st, 2001, a new law went into effect in the Netherlands, and the world's first government-sanctioned gay and lesbian wedding ceremony was held. This Way Out correspondent Jackie Carver of MVS Media was there.
It's 11:45 on the 31st of March, 2001. We're in the city council chamber of the city of Amsterdam waiting for the four happy couples to come upstairs. They came in downstairs just about 10 minutes ago, surrounded by press. And here comes Mayor Joop Cohen, the mayor of Amsterdam, who is officiating tonight. The former Minister of Justice, who did so much to push this bill through both houses of Parliament. And here they come. Here comes Geert Kasteel and Dolph Pasker, and followed by Helene Fazen and Annemarie Toos, Tom Janssen and Louis Rochmans, and finally Peter Wittebroed-Lemke and Frank Wittebroed. And they're taking their seats, and Mayor Cohen is stepping up to the microphone.
Bruidsparen, familie en vrienden.
Brides and bridegrooms, family and friends, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Amsterdam City Council Chamber on this memorable night. We are here to join you in marriage. You are making history tonight. This is the first legal civil marriage between two men or two women, and that is unique in the world. The opening of civil marriage is a milestone in the history of lesbian and gay emancipation. For you, this is a very special moment, probably the happiest day of your lives, and very likely the longest day of your life as well. And it's a double party. You're celebrating that you're getting married, and you're also celebrating that you can get married. Dear couples, last week when we spoke, you told me what marriage means for you. And you were all very definite in your feeling that a registered partnership is a sort of second-rate marriage. Having a registered partnership is a bit like creating a small business. And for all of you, a marriage is something else, something special, that represents the deepest and most emotional bond that two people can have. And very soon, you will be able to say to each other, "We are married." And that does sound better than "We are partners." You all look wonderful, and I wish you the best April the 1st of your lives. I'd like to go over to the formal part of the ceremony, but it's still 2 minutes to 12, so we'll have to wait a bit. Just keep clapping until midnight.
Mag ik u alle acht verzoeken om te gaan staan en elkaar.
Would you all please stand and take each other by the right hand? And
Peter Wittebrood Lemke, wilt u uw partnerschap met Franciscus Maria Wittebrood omzetten in een huwelijk?
Cohen then asked each couple if they wish to convert their registered partnership into marriage.
Getrouw alle plichten te zullen vervullen die de wet aan de huwelijkse staat verbindt. Peter Wittebrood Lemke.
By the authority vested in me by the civil register of the city of Amsterdam, I declare you to be married.
Dan verklaar ik als ambtenaar.
Mayor Cohen then struck the gavel, and with that hammer blow, history was made. The reception afterwards, we all drank a toast. The first one was to the happy couples, and the second one was to history. I spoke first with Ton Jansen. You've been together for 36 years. How does it feel to finally get married?
I'm proud, I must say, although that's really unfair because I didn't do it. There are other people who did it, the politicians or so, but it's wonderful to be here and to set this example to the world. That's what I hope it is. All the world is seeing this, the media all together here. Millions and millions of people will look at this and they will see that in the Netherlands it's possible for two men to get the same rights as every other married couple. That's wonderful.
Do you think that this will offer inspiration to other gays and lesbians throughout the world who are struggling?
Most certainly, most certainly. I think Europe will have to follow this.
I then asked Geert Kasteel how he was feeling.
Well, I'm very proud and very happy that I'm married, but it's two parties in one. The first party that I have married my husband, my man, and the second party is that that is able in Holland that we can marry. The civil marriage opened up, and it's wonderful.
This is a historic day. Do you hope that this is going to be an example for the rest of the world?
Yes, we hope so, but I think it is a fight of many years.
You look absolutely head over heels in love and happy. Tell me, how was it to stand there and say yes?
To say yes. I thought, well, I want to say yes, but I could not. I just said yes.
Yes.
Nervous, yeah.
Congratulations. I then spoke with Peter Wittebrod Lemke and Frank Wittebrod. Tell me why you wanted to get married. What was so important about marriage? I mean, surely that's just a heterosexual institution.
The most important thing is not only the marriage, but the possibility of marriage. And so that is also what we're celebrating tonight. Yes.
And the most important thing is also when you love each other so much like we do and like a lot of people do, then you want to take care of each other. And then you have rights now. So you have rights with heritage, you have rights with pension, you have all the rights like everyone to us. With children, you have the rights. And before, it wasn't possible to get that rights. And now it's possible. And you have to choose the choice. You can marry or you cannot marry. Normally it was only for the heterosexuals, and now we can choose like the heterosexual. And I suppose in one generation or two generations, it's quite normal, like the right for voting. 100 years ago, it was only the voting rights for men, as you know. And now everyone knows. It's quite normal that everyone. It's ridiculous that only men can vote. And in 15 years or in 20 years, it's ridiculous that only heterosexuals can marry.
Could marry.
Could
yeah.
marry. So I hope in a few years they say it's quite normal.
It's like the
right for voting and all the other rights.
And how did it feel standing there knowing that you were among the first gay people to get married legally?
Very romantic.
Yes, that's
nothing
nice.
More romantic.
Yeah, that's good. That's the way that we knew before that it was like this, and we have chosen for it because we want to say all the world from you can do it, and it's okay. Holland is the first land, but maybe Sweden or Norway is the second. So, and that's very good.
It's a day we will not easily forget. We hope we are a good example and many people follow.
Ineke Hauser is the executive director of the COC, the Dutch lesbian, gay, bi and trans rights group. I asked her how she viewed the night's events.
It's an historic day and we all are very proud, of course, with this moment and the result of such a long, long fight for justice.
The COC wasn't actually behind this fight at the very beginning. What changed your mind?
Well, there are two different meanings in the COC. And first, the one who said, well, we have to get rid of the marriage, was the strongest. But we more and more realized that it was just a phase in the process that you have to get equal rights for equal people, and then you can go further on. And that's what we are doing. This is a historic moment, but this is not the end. This is the beginning of the next phase, and that is give way to all kind of other, well, economic and emotional couples. Two people, three people living together, not living together, but have the same rights as couples who want to stay in a close relation together and live together. So we are going on.
And is the COC planning to spread the knowledge how Holland went about this and achieved marriage? Are they planning programs to help other countries?
Well, we do as much as possible. Yes, one of the things we do is that we promote in the European Parliament to get our marriage as we have it now, recognized in their countries. And I think that is really important to start with.
I caught up with Mayor Cohen and asked him how he was feeling.
I'm very glad that it happened. I'm glad that it came through Parliament, and I'm glad that I had the opportunity and that those first marriages took place here in Amsterdam. It's very important that we have this this law here. It's a law for handling in the same way, and I think that's very important.
And do you think that this is going to set an example for the rest of the world and that Europe will follow in the footsteps of the Netherlands?
Well, I really hope so. I know by myself that it takes years. I know very well that 10, 15 years ago, when for the first time people said to me, isn't it important that also people of the same sex can marry, I wasn't convinced, not at all. And it took time with me. But now I'm convinced, and I can imagine that also in other countries people can be convinced when they think it over, when they see how important it is that people who want to marry also have the possibility to marry.
And I finally caught up with Henk Krol. He's the editor of the Gay Krant and one of the main proponents of opening up marriage for lesbians and gays, and he was looking just delighted. I asked him if he was feeling as happy as he looked.
Well, I feel incredible. It's unbelievable. And it's the first of April that I'm really happy. 1st of April is my birthday. And I never celebrated my birthday. And now for the first time, I have a party on my birthday.
This is the best present ever.
It is, I'm sure. But it's not a present to me. It's a present to the world.
In Amsterdam, this is Jackie Carlton.
For you wake one day, look around and say, my lovely boyfriend, or if I were a lesbian, my girlfriend, but I'm not, so my boyfriend married me.
Thank you very much.
The Netherlands was first in 2001. In the past 20 years, same-gender marriage has become legal in 29 countries and 47 other jurisdictions around the world. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Michael Taylor Gray and Wenzel Jones, produced by Brian DeShazer, and from Jackie Carver. Alan Cumming performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, a bequest from Christopher David Trentum, and donors John Beaupre and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Special thanks to the staff, volunteers, and listeners of WERU-FM in Bangor, Maine for their latest contribution. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappelle. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WGHC Chicago, Illinois, 5UV Adelaide, South Australia, KUGS Bellingham, Washington, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned, y'all.